Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 17, please. We'll begin reading in verse 15 of this chapter. This tells us that, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. That's over in Greece, you know. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now they traveled 250 miles to get there. Took them a little while. They had to walk. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Those people were very religious. I was reading the other day about this, and I found out that there are about 40 great religions in this world, different religions that are prevalent among the approximately 7 billion people that are on earth today. There's one question that's basic to almost all of these religions: what happens afterwards? That's the thing that's in the uppermost minds of people. What happens after this? After we pass on, what happens? And that's the question that gives rise to all of these religions. Now, we hope to know the answer to that, the correct answer, before the end of this message today. But religion is something that everybody has in common. Even the atheist. Atheism is a religion. Each religion has its own philosophies, its beliefs, teachings, rituals, customs, what have you. Religion is a faith that people live by and a faith that they die by. Their religion influences their activities while we are alive on this earth, and it should prepare us for that after-death experience. Throughout the centuries of time, the history of mankind, there have been many religions come and go. And sometimes you may see a revival of some ancient religion that somebody out here has dug up out of the history books and say, hey, that sounds pretty good. And you'll get a group of people believing that again. But mature Christians should realize that there is only one true religion in the world, and that is the worship of the one true and living God. All others are false religions. Now, our religion is labeled Christianity. There are presently about 2 billion people in this world under the umbrella of Christianity. It has the largest number. It's the biggest, according to number, biggest, largest religion in the world. And as you know, it was started by Jesus Christ, whom we believe to be the Son of God and God the Son. That is about 2,000 years ago. Now, our holy book, and all these religions always have their holy books. Our holy book is the Bible. And it teaches that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And that's where people go when they die. That's basic belief of Christianity. Here in the United States, we're told that about 78.5% of Americans identify with Christianity. Seems to me like that might be an exaggerated number. You know, 78% of the population. But of course, Christianity is divided between Catholics and Protestants, right? Yep, they're all called Christians. The latest numbers that I could find says that there's about 57.199 million Catholics in the United States. And 116.203 million Protestants. And of the Protestants, there are 36.148 million that are called Baptist. That's us. Now, we believe that those who die in faith in Christ go to heaven when they die, and they'll be rewarded according to their works. We believe that they will eventually live in the New Jerusalem, in mansions as described in John 14 and in the book of Revelation. That's Christianity. Now, the second largest religion in the world today is the Islam religion. And their followers are called Muslims. It is said that 21.8% of all the people in the world are Muslims. And they number some 1.3 billion people. That's a lot. Of course, now, Christianity has 2 billion, so we're still ahead. Now, their holy book is called the Quran. And it teaches that there is a paradise and a hell where people go when they die. Now, the Islam religion was started back in AD 610 by a fellow named Muhammad. He's their prophet, and their God is Allah. The Islam religion is a militant religion. They believe in killing off all of the opposition who are labeled by them as heathens. And if you are a Muslim and you die for the faith of Islam, then at your death, you get 72 virgins. That's your reward. The third largest religion in the world is Hinduism. There are approximately 900 million followers of the Hindu religion. Most Hindus are found in India, and that's a predominantly Hindu nation with about 80.5% of their population following that religion. And the Hindu religion believes in reincarnation. And so does the fourth largest religion in the world, which is Buddhism. It has some 360 million followers. And the Buddhists also believe in reincarnation. So there are a lot of people in the world that believe in reincarnation. If you have access to the internet, get on there and Google reincarnation and read about it. You'll be surprised. There's a little difference between what the Hindus believe in reincarnation and what the Buddhists believe in reincarnation. But reincarnation basically is the belief that after this physical body dies, the soul or spirit of life, which is in this body of flesh, is reborn. That is, it comes back to life in another body, in either a higher or a lower form, depending upon the kind of life they lived as a human being. And this cycle of reincarnation never ends. It just goes on and on and on. Whatever you come back as, you will eventually die in that body as well. You'll have another one out here, and you just keep on exchanging bodies. Man, that's human beings like we are today, is midpoint of the 10 stages or the 10 realms of being. From hell to Buddhahood in the Buddha religion. A person can lower themselves and go down a level, or they can raise themselves and go up a level by the life that they live as a human. In Asia today, there are more than 2 billion people who are unevangelized. They've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. In India, for instance, which has a population that is 4 times that of our United States, there are more than 4 100 million people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And some of India's 29 states have a larger population than many independent nations in the world today. A missionary asked a shopkeeper in a market in India if he knew Jesus. The shopkeeper thought for a moment and said, "I know everyone in our village, but I don't know anybody by that name. Maybe he lives in some other village around here." He asked some other people about Jesus. And they thought that Jesus might be a name brand for a new soap or a patent medicine. That's Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Jesus, that name which is above every name. Unknown to them. When a good person in India dies, everybody thinks that he is reincarnated in the form of a rat. A rat is the next highest stage from being a human. The next step up the ladder. So as a result of that, all of the rats in India are considered sacred. Don't kill that rat. It may be your dearly departed mama or daddy or sister or brother. Seriously. Now, as a result, India has become rat infested. Every house has an average of 10 rats. They built temples to the rats. And the rats are worshipped in India. By the way, the rats being worshipped, they don't get 10%, which is a tithe. They get 20%. Those poor people over there who are suffering and starving in India give 20% to the rats. They feed them their grain supply every year. And they say that annual food grain loss in India to rats would fill a train longer than the distance between New York and Los Angeles. Imagine a train of 327,000 boxcars, each one loaded with 82 metric tons of grain, stretching for 3,097 miles. That's the annual rate of grain that goes to their rats. An article in the India Express newspaper stated that hundreds of rats scurry merrily around a large compound of the rat temple. The devotees spread food for them on the ground. One has to walk cautiously through the temple because if a rat is harmed or killed or crushed to death, it's a criminal offense subject to severe punishment. I don't blame them. If I was a rat, I wouldn't want anybody stepping on me either. That's the two of the four largest religions in the world today, with millions of followers who worship rats instead of the true and the living God. Well, enough about the worship of rats. I told you that so that you could see the difference between Christianity and some of the other religions in the world today. Because, listen, everyone in the world has a God-given right to make a personal choice as to who or what they believe. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you what to believe and tell you that if you don't believe it, I'm going to kill you. I'm not going to do that. If you want to worship rats or cows or Satan or something else like that, that's your privilege to do so. There are groups of people here in the United States who worship Satan, the devil. That's worse than rats. But I'll tell you something, if you want to worship Buddha, or if you want to worship Allah, or if you want to worship a fence post, you go right ahead. In America, that's your right. You have that freedom. But I want to assure you by the Holy Bible, by the word of Almighty God who created all things, by the word of His power, that in the final wind-up, when it's all over, there's only going to be one God left standing, and His name is going to be Jesus Christ. Amen. Contrary to what the Muslims say, God does have a Son. And that eternal Son was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea to the Virgin Mary. He was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And He traveled for 3.5 years throughout the land that we call Israel with 12 of His apostles, teaching and ministering to the people of His day. He performed many mighty miracles. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind eyes. He caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk. He cleansed the lepers, and He raised the dead. He displayed His power over nature by causing storms to cease and the winds to die down and the waves of the ocean to become calm. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 men besides the women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And this Jesus died on a cross. He was crucified by a bunch of people that didn't believe that He was who He claimed to be. And they didn't like Him, so they killed Him. But He died on that cross for you and for me. Paid the penalty for our sins. He was buried and He rose from the dead the third day for our justification. He showed Himself alive for 40 days by many infallible proofs. And then He ascended back to heaven, leaving the promise, "I will come again." And He ever lives at the right hand of God. And He saves everyone and anyone who will come to Him by faith, believing. And He saves them with an everlasting salvation. It's not something that you have one day and lose the next. He forgives sin and He cleanses of all unrighteousness. He invites everyone to come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And whosoever will, let him come. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He gives us eternal life, and he adopts us into his family. We become his children. And when we die, he takes us to heaven to live with him for all eternity. Now, it's your right to make a choice as to what religion you want to follow. Everybody's religious. Everybody's religious. What I'm saying is to you this morning is that you can say there is no God if you want to. You can say God is Allah if you want to. You can say Buddha is God if you want to. You can worship a rat if you want to, or whatever strikes your fancy. But I'll tell you one thing. The faith that you choose is the faith that you're going to die by. And you show me one other religion that will promise you what Jesus Christ promises, and I'll quit preaching Christ and start preaching that religion. Does your religion give you assurance of everlasting life? Does your religion provide you with a robe of righteousness that allows you to stand spotless before Almighty God? Does your religion allow you to come boldly to the throne of grace and make your petitions known to God? Can you stand fearless and faultless before his presence? Do you have the assurance of resurrection from the dead when you die? If you don't, maybe you need to change religions. I offer you Christ. Let's stand together. With our heads bowed in prayer, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and graciousness. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our Bible that tells us all about you, what you've done in the past, what you're doing today, and what you're going to do in the future. We thank you that you have not left us alone in this world, but you've given us a hope that is steadfast, that is secure in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's even one in this congregation today that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray that today the Holy Spirit of God has convicted their hearts and shown them Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, being buried, and being raised the third day for our justification. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us and your concern about where we're going to spend eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
497.
Number 497. In your hymn book, let's have a verse of invitation here. Before we leave, perhaps there's one here today that is unsaved that needs to come forward and make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. This is your opportunity. Will you come today?
Just as I am without one.
Will you come today? You can come just as you are. Throw yourself on the mercy of God and say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against heaven and against thee. Save me for Jesus' sake. Will you come today? Remember, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means you. Will you come today?